Well, before we pray tonight, let's look into the scripture. My thought is that we would bring to conclusion our study of the Beatitudes. And as you know, we went through Matthew and started there, of course, and then we've gone here and there and yon. We're in yon tonight, I'm here. The book of Daniel, if you would join me there in chapter 12. And then Tom has some interesting things to share with us the next three Wednesdays, I'm told. The last three verses is where we'll be. In Daniel chapter 12. And so we have verse 11, verse 12, and verse 13. And this is what we find there. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into the rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Well, here is, of course, the last three verses of Daniel's prophecy, but I think, at least for the time, the last beatitude that we're going to consider together. The beatitude is, of course, in the middle of these three verses, verse 12. And the first verse, which is one of those verses that has just spun men's heads around, this verse sets up not just the number of days that are being considered, but the situation of the days. And you can see here that they're bad. He speaks of the abolishing of the sacrifice, and that would be just unthinkable to the Jew. And then it goes from bad to worse with the setting up of the abomination of desolation. Now, that's been interpreted any number of ways. The abolishing of the regular sacrifice is clear enough. You know, some power come into Israel and make them stop doing what God's told them to do. The sacrifice that points off, of course, to Christ and would weaken their and grieve them in their spirit. But then this setting up of the abomination of desolation, again, interpreted a number of ways. Some say it was, you know, some pagan emperor's statue set up there in the temple. Some say it was the sacrifice of a pig upon the altar. One thing or another. It was the picture of going from bad to worse and even unthinkable. And with that, there would come persecution. There was much persecution. Of course, there was resistance to these things, and the resistance was put down mightily. This almost is a blow-by-blow diagram, we'll say, of the days of Antiochus Epiphanes and the Jews in the Maccabean period and what this power struggle as people were trying to exert their power, and little Judah got caught in the middle of all of that. And let's just go through there and do what we wish. And it was a grief and a horror to the people of God. Other people say that this cannot be just strictly related only to those days. But it's also, like so much of Scripture, it looks at an event and then looks through the event at something at the end of the age, which very well might be true. And it might be speaking of not just Antiochus Epiphanes, but the Antichrist himself. So, this is the way that prophecy works. It's hard to nail down because we want exact times and dates. We want months and seasons and years. We want it in headlines and we want it diagrammed and we want it to understand it. What we need to see here, and this will be enough for us to get the benefit of the beatitude, is that it's bad days going from bad to worse. But then verse 12. Oh, there is a tremendous blessing addressed to those who keep waiting, who keep waiting. Now, these are people that know the very truth that was shared with us last week from Isaiah. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. This remembers Isaiah 30, verse 18. And therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. And the Lord is a God of justice. And then how blessed are all those who long or who wait for him. And that section lets us know that it's not that we're waiting for God to change his mind or to come to our way of seeing things. And if we just pray the right thing, that we'll talk him into being good to us. And Isaiah says, look, he already wants to be good to you. But what's going on is he is a God of justice. And so things are being done. Judgments are being poured out. And the people of God must wait until that is over for the blessing to be bestowed. The ultimate blessing that they're waiting for. God can bless you in the middle of anything, can't he? Did he bless Corrie Ten Boom? I keep relating to her, referring to her, and I won't apologize for it. I just, you know, there she was in, was it Auschwitz? Where was she? Ravensbrück. She was back there with the fleas. And God. God was with them. God was with them and blessed them. And so there is that, like Israel wandering in the wilderness, and there's the fire, and there's the pillar of cloud, and there is God himself. But they're waiting for this great change. And so these are people here in the end of Daniel who know that, who are waiting on the Lord, waiting, if you will, on his time, waiting for him to bring these things to their logical conclusion, and they keep waiting. Now, here we're told in verse 11 that it's gone from bad to worse. The time the regular sacrifice is abolished, the abomination of desolation is set up. There will be 1,290 days. It looks a certain way. But what they are told here is that this is not the end. The end is at 1,335 days. Now, are you the sort that says, what do these numbers mean? Are these literal days? Can we pinpoint this on a calendar? Well, I'm rather one of the sort that says these numbers are symbolic. Like the numbers that we meet in the book of Revelation are symbolic. And they have great meaning. And sometimes they have fantastic significance and yet mystery attached to them. Much the same here. Well, the 1,290 days is kind of roughly times and half a time, if you heard that before, or 3.5 years. But you get into the middle of that and you think it can't get any worse. The enemy thinks he's won. He's already stopped the sacrifice, and now he set up the abomination of desolation. That thing that just is the ultimate insult to God. But that's not the end. Just a mere 45 days later, things change. And this was the benediction. This was the beatitude. Blessed are those. No, how blessed are those who wait for that, who know that it doesn't matter what the enemy does. It doesn't matter how egregious he is or how outrageous his actions are. That's not the last word. If the Lord brings us back, we may very well talk about the musts in Scripture. And the one that encourages me perhaps the most is the one that said, he must reign until all of his enemies are put under his feet. We talked about this once among the deacon body, and the question was raised, well, why so long? Why has it been 2,000 years since Christ left and he hasn't come back yet? And the answer was, he has a lot of enemies and they're all being put under his feet. All right, so he must reign. And we wait for that. The 1,335 days pictures the reality that it doesn't matter how strong the adversary, how much pull he has, how much control he has over politics or local governments or even the church, if he's able to move this way or that, he cannot have the last word. There is a day coming. 45 days after he's just crowned himself, if you will, in the very courtroom of God. And the Lord just says, away with you. That wonderful place, it's not wonderful in some ways, but over there in the book of Acts where Herod is giving an address and people are saying, oh, it's the voice of a God and not of a man. You remember what happened? God struck him and he was eaten by worms. Just to show you how mighty and powerful that man was, God disposed of him with some worms. All right. Oh, how blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. Now, both in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel, you'll find time, times, and half a time, or you'll find 3.5 years, or you'll find 1,260 days. All of these things being the same time period, referred to in different ways. It's the time of tribulation. It's the time of the church's testimony. It's the time when victories are won in the name of Christ. It's the time when great sorrows come to God's people. All of this is going on. It's just all balled up. It's just life in this world as a believer in Christ Jesus. Well, what's this? Why does it say days here? 1,290 days. And I like, there's two thoughts here that are comforting. Number one, there's an end in sight. You can number it. But number two, they are numbered. If you're saying, well, this is going to last for years, that has a certain feel to it. If it's going to go on for months, well, that's got a certain feel to it too. But if it's just a matter of days, what you know is I can live through a day. I can seek God, as he's told me, for strength for this day. I don't have faith for a month, but I've got faith for a day. I don't have prayers for a year, but I have prayers for a day. And you can find help for a day. And then you just string these days together where God helping you one day at a time. And after a while, you get to the end. And then the other thought is that they are numbered. God knows their end. And he sees the day. He has set the day. I like that very much. It doesn't say, how blessed is he who keeps waiting for the end. He could say that. Oh, there's going to be 1,290 days, but just keep waiting and there's going to come an end in sight. He says, no. You wait 45 more days. That's, isn't that right? You math guys, 1,335 minus 1,290, you have just a month and a half. No, you've got 45 days. So, God knows this, and he says, that's the day. There is an end. Now, the example of this for us is the very personal word to Daniel, and I'm glad that he put it in here. It's like a personal word that Paul would write to Timothy. And you'd read that and you'd take it to yourself and say, what does me good, doesn't it? It's a word to Timothy. And then you realize, well, no, the Spirit is speaking to me. He is saying that to me. It's like Paul wrote my name in there and said, now, you know, pursue after peace with all men and love and, you know, and all these things, the sanctification, without which no man will see the Lord. Well, that was written for me. Well, how about this word to Daniel? As for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest, and then you will rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Now, when he says, go your way to the end, what does he mean? Just go your way to the end of your days, Daniel. Live your life, Daniel. You keep waiting on God, Daniel. And then you will enter into rest. What does that mean? you'll die. To this world. And then you'll rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. And so that day where you draw your last breath and the heart pumps its last squeeze, and then your spirit goes to be with Christ. That's not the end, is it? I mean, it sounds good. But he says there's coming a resurrection. There's coming the end of the age. And there's coming a rising again. And there's coming a judgment where the saints will be rewarded and they will be given their allotted portion. They who have been waiting and waiting and waiting will see with their own eyes. And God will reward them and bless them. And so we have an illustration here in that of the blessing of the Beatitude of verse 12. Blessed are those who keep waiting and attain to the 1335 days. Now, we may, I don't know. Do you think that we'll live to see days of persecution? I think that we have. What do you think? And I think that it might get worse before it gets better. But this I know, they're all numbered. However bad it gets, if it goes like it goes here, from bad to worse, then we know this. Okay, the enemy has a leash that's held by a divine hand. If there's a certain point he can go no further, and he'll be eaten by worms. And then we have the glorious end of that. You know, he doesn't say, I've wondered about this all day, how blessed is he who keeps waiting? And what's the blessing? What is the reward? You know, blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. What is the blessing here? It's just sort of left hanging, isn't it? Unless you have that understanding of what he said to Daniel, you will enter into rest, you will rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age, or just maybe we'll come to the end of the 1335 days in our own lifetime and we'll see the outpouring of the Spirit. Just one thought about that, and then we'll pray. Billy's been reading, is The Walk of Tinnabelli? Okay, and he is experiencing in India the revival that hit Wales in 1905 and 6. And they say about that, they said, when the Spirit of God fell upon the church there in India, he said, the Spirit clothed every, even the most simple sentence of testimony with power. To see days like that, and we may very well, with our own eyes, see that. We may come to the 1335 and see that the inundation of the church by the Spirit. You know, if you're like me, you think, well, how can I put this? How can I rephrase the argument? How could I turn this statement and be convincing to the lost person? How could I convince? That gives myself away right there. There's no convincing. God has to do the convincing. What they were saying is, like happened in Wales, a little girl stands up in the back of the church and says, I love Jesus with all my heart. 16-year-old girl melts the congregation because the Spirit of God was there. And oh, saint, keep waiting for that day when he will clothe our words with his power. Keep waiting. Keep waiting. Let's pray.